The scripture reading today is one of the four lectionary passages for this Sunday. This one is Acts 2, beginning with verse 42, and I read today from the version of the Bible, the contemporary reading called The Message, which was put together by a long-term pastor, a Presbyterian pastor, Eugene Peterson. Hear now the Word of God. They committed themselves to the teaching of the apostles, the life together, the common meal, and the prayers. Everyone around was in awe. All those wonders and signs done through the apostles. And all the believers lived in a wonderful harmony, holding everything in common. They sold whatever they owned and pooled their resources so that each person's need was met. They followed a daily discipline of worship in the temple, followed by meals at home, every meal a celebration, exuberant and joyful as they praised God. People in general liked what they saw. Every day, their number grew as God added those who were saved. Brothers and sisters, this is the Word of God.
So Beth and I were sitting on a piece of cement out behind TCBY Yogurt. You know that piece of cement where they put the big dumpsters on back in parking lots? She wanted to go and get some yogurt, and she wanted to sit outside, and this was the only place to sit. So we sat on the edge of this cement block, and we had our little cup of TCBY, and we were kind of pushing around our yogurt with our spoon. I really wanted to eat it, but I wanted to pay attention, too. So we were talking to each other, and she was a member of the last church I served before I came to Unity. And she said, "Tricia, I need to talk to you about something. I have a secret to tell you, and I think if everybody knows my secret, they might not want me to be a part of the church." So we sat there with our yogurt and with the ants crawling around our feet, and she proceeded to look over at me and tell me, she said, "I'm an addict, and I have been addicted to painkillers for the past year." She said, I can't beat it. I don't know what to do. And everybody at your church has been so nice to invite me, and they want me to be there. But I wonder if they knew this, if they would really want me to still come to the church. Beth indeed found out that the church did want her to be a part of that place. They loved her, and they welcomed her, and it was not always easy. Let's just get real. It was hard for them because Beth wasn't like them. So this was a challenge to love someone and accept someone who was so different. Someone who eventually told them about her addiction. Someone who smoked a lot and people said, "It's really hard to sit next to her in the pew. She smells like cigarette smoke." Someone who hadn't had the chance to be socialized in groups the same way that many have. So she struggled with that. And yet this church found a way to love her and receive her and walk with her. So much to the point that she came in front of the church and shared her testimony about what she was struggling with her demons, and how the church had been there for her. Eventually, she even joined the church and then later was baptized. Now, if this was the perfect story, if this was the perfect sermon illustration, she probably would have gone on and gotten a degree in social work, and she would be working in a rehab center somewhere helping people with opioid addiction. The story is not perfect in any way, and that's what makes it so beautiful. I started to notice on Sundays when I was preaching that Beth was not sitting on that back left pew. You know how you all have a place you like to sit, right, Robinsons? Right, Deals? Yes. Kath, I see you all in your little spots. Yeah, Rick threw me for a loop because he was over here at 11 o'clock and he's usually back there. She had her spot, and I started to notice she wasn't there. And then she would come, and there'd be a few Sundays, and she started disappearing, and people in the church came up to me, and they said, "She's not coming to church anymore, Tricia. We're losing her. She's slipping away." So we went out to Hardee's one day after church, and we sat with our greasy fries, and we started talking about what happened. She wasn't coming to church at all. And we all knew what we probably lost her to. We think she went back to using again and just could not come back to this community and face us and name that. And we missed her, and we longed for her to come back, and we continued to call her, but she never picked up the phone. But there was also something else we talked about sitting there over that hamburger. And it was a sense of, oh my gosh, look what we did. This was really hard. We didn't know how to welcome her. We needed each other to do it. We've talked about that the last few weeks, how they needed each other to receive her and welcome her. And they would come and say, "Tricia, how do we do this? And should we do it this way?" And they would look to each other for advice on that. But they said, "You know what? We did it. We made her feel so welcome that she joined and she wanted to be baptized." And they felt really good about that. That's the amazing thing about what Luke is lifting up to us today in this text. Luke is the same author of Acts that also wrote the Gospel of Luke. And in the book of Acts, there's a transition and a bridge built between the stories we've been hearing the last few weeks of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We've been hearing the stories of people walking along and trying to figure out who this Jesus person was and who he is to this new community. And so Luke is writing to these people, telling them how to be community. Now, did anybody else laugh a little bit on the inside when the scripture was read this morning? Come on. Perfect, exuberant, joyful community that every time they gathered, everything was just right. Now, I have to say today, the meal was exuberant and perfect, right? Amen. But not everything in the church is joyful and exuberant. And everybody brought all of their gifts to share with everyone else, and no one felt resentful, and no one felt any judgment, and no one was really human. It seemed all rather quite perfect. A lot of theologians lift up in this text, it's a little too perfect. It's a little too ideal. And so a lot of what Luke talks about in the book of Acts is what this early community was supposed to do. And we know Christian communities often proclaim that our job is to share the message of Jesus Christ, to name that we're sinners, and to be saved by Christ through that gift on the cross. What's interesting about what Luke lifts up is a little bit different. His message over and over and over in the books of Acts is two things. First of all, to name that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior and that we will live through him and because of him. And his second message is to proclaim your baptism so that the Holy Spirit can come alive in you. What a powerful, bright, beautiful message. Not one of judgment. Not one of watch out and see if you can cross the line and be on the good side. No, it's one of saying Jesus Christ lives for you so that the Holy Spirit can come alive in you. That's what happened with Beth. Even in all of her humanness. And that's what Luke is wanting to lift up to us today. No church is perfect. And David said it so well with the Eugene Peterson quote a couple of weeks ago. He said, the church isn't perfect. The church is like a living room with dirty carpet and handprints on the wall. And if nobody ever came to your living room, there wouldn't be any dirt in the carpet and there wouldn't be any handprints on the wall. That's a good thing. Remember that when you're cleaning your house this afternoon. Another theologian said, dirty dishes have a story to tell. I must have a lot of stories to tell. And this weekend, as my niece graduated from college, there was a sink full of dirty dishes, but it was for such a good reason as we gathered to celebrate. So even in the midst of the mess and the handprints, the church has such a gift to give. I asked somebody today to bring me a perfect flower. And this somebody brought me what I believe is to be the most perfect flower. A Gerber daisy is the most perfect flower that ever existed. I love them. They're my favorite flower. I had them in my wedding. How perfect is that? Is that not the happiest thing you've ever seen right there? You cute little happy thing. this is a perfect flower. But I also have some Gerber daisies on my deck that look like this. This doesn't seem so perfect. And yet this, in its growth and in its beauty, has at one time also been this. I find it interesting, especially when I lived in Seattle, people would come up to me and say, I don't want anything to do with the church, Tricia. It's messy. It's judgmental. It's just got a lot of humanness to it. I'm going to go to the mountains, and I'm going to go be in the woods and look at the rocks and the trees and the leaves. That is where I find God. And I agree with that. I see God in nature. But it's so interesting, because if you think about nature, if you think about the trees and the grass, everything in nature is in flux all the time. Everything in nature is either living or dying or somewhere in between that. Everything that people wanted to flee to in Seattle was all about that cycle of life and death and rebirth. And what do? This fall in October, it's okay when you don't come to church in October because you're going up to the mountains because you want to see the what? The leaves. We pay the highest prices in the hotel rooms in October to go to New England or go up to Asheville so that we can see death on trees. But it looks really good, doesn't it? There's some good death. And as a hospital chaplain, there you are, we know that death is beautiful too. And it's very beautiful on the trees. There's a gift in that transition. There's a gift in not worrying about being perfect. I started thinking to myself this week, if we're so focused on being perfect, where in the world is the room for the Holy Spirit to come in the door? If we're grabbing so tightly to something because it's got to look just right and we have to be just right and I have to act just right and I have to do my job just right and everybody needs to think I'm the most perfect parent in the world, and we're just clenching so tight, where in the world is the room for the Holy Spirit? This will never be the church. Thanks be to God. Because if it was, there's no room for me here. This is all about the church and its growth and its change. And I've heard a few people say, I know you have too, I'm going to come back to Unity when the new minister's there. Somebody even said to me on Easter, we're not coming. It's a little too chaotic. I said, oh, you're missing it. This is the most exciting time. The pastor nominated committee has met. Unity's resume is out there. The next new minister is embarking on this place now. And the Holy Spirit is flying in the door and dancing around and saying, look what might come next. Why don't you get in your car and drive up there and pay for a high-priced hotel to go and see it? Because it's amazing. That's what Luke is wanting to remind us of today. That scripture that says there's a time and a season for everything under heaven. And in all those seasons and all those changes, we don't have to be the ideal church. We never will be. But those beautiful handprints on the wall and the dirty stains on the carpet all have a story to tell. And boy, is our story something to celebrate today. Because this church has prayerfully considered the gifts they want to offer in this campaign. People have told stories about going home and discerning what they believe and hope for this church. They have prayed about where they want to see Unity go. I saw a couple last week sitting way over here in timeout. Anybody knows Dave and I were way over here last week? But there was a gift in that. Because I was right here and I saw this couple come down the aisle holding hands together with their commitment card. And together they took their card, and together with both of their hands they put it in the basket. They took the spiritual journey and they took the physical journey to come and pray over where they see Unity going next and where their gifts are in that. And that is why we celebrate today that this church has pledged $700,000 towards our mortgage. I know I'm going to get an amen about that. And as Morris shared at breakfast, $200,000 has already been given in financial gifts. Think of all the prayer. Think of all the hope, of all the love that has gone into that, that has gone in to the beautiful, imperfect church that we're a part of. All of that only happens when we let go a little bit and we invite the Holy Spirit in to dance. Here and now and in our future, we are certainly moving beyond with the help of God. And thanks be to God. Amen. Let us stand and sing together.